Chapter 10, Starry Night. "Wow, you look pretty. Get in here." Bounce grabbed my hand and pulled me inside. Raven's house was surrounded by small private gardens and other stately townhomes. It looked like a neighborhood where doctors, lawyers, and the prime minister all played with their toddlers on Sundays. As I climbed the stairs behind Bounce, I immediately saw Raven in a long-sleeve, crimson wool dress that wrapped around her voluptuous body with a flirty tie in front. I looked good in red. Many had told me so. But Raven in red was epic. Once I reached the clearing, I went to tell her. "Raven, thank you for having me over tonight. You look amazing." This is nothing. She flitted her hand down the side of her dress and over the food that was bubbling on the stove. "I never get to cook my mother's stew. It is nice us all here." She looked sincere. There was nothing in her attitude that made the others' comments make sense. It didn't feel like we were competitors. Perhaps we had both matured since we saw each other last. "Well, it smells really good." I stepped closer to inhale more deeply. "Thank you. It's Ajiako, chicken stew. Oh, and thank you for the wine." She stirred the large pot and gestured to our contino already laid out on the table. "Do you want anything to drink?" Bounce was playing hostess as well. She had a brown turtleneck and dark green cargo pants with ballet flats. She was more muscular than I thought, like an acrobat. "Yes, if the wine is open, that's perfect." Bounce began pouring the glass as Finn caught my eye from the living room past the dining table. He motioned for me to come and sit with him, Brinks, and a Viking god I didn't recognize. "Evelyn, this is Kirk. He's Danish and a friend of Raven's. Kirk, this is our friend Evelyn." Finn was speaking slower than normal. Kirk made an obvious effort to turn toward me and nodded acknowledgement. Finn smiled at me, amused. "Kirk here doesn't speak much English." Brink snickered and turned away from our Danish friend, taking a sip of his beer. The fact that someone didn't speak English wasn't funny, but everything about our friend Kirk made me think that if he could speak, he would declare us all inferior and storm out of the room. "How is it that we know Kirk?" I asked, as Bounce handed me my wine. "Raven invited him. They've been dating for a week or so. He's some kind of model," Bounce clarified and smiled in his direction. "Oh, well, they must have a wonderful time together. I assumed most of their conversation was nonverbal." Brinks looked at me expectantly. "Finn tells me we had a small breakthrough." "You mean remembering the name of his boat?" "Yes, it was a pretty great moment. The doctor said that in time, some could come back." "Yes, whatever damage to the short-term memory there is, time can cure it in some cases. My parents are both doctors, and I was asking them about the possibilities. We had a lot of good times. It would be a shame for you to lose them forever." Brink seemed very encouraged. "What do your parents think you do here?" I asked, marveling that Brink's looked even less like he was built for a life of crime than me. "I'm actually a technology and security consultant. I develop online content and web-based security systems, anything that can be done with a computer. My parents would have preferred me to be a surgeon, but I have a lot more fun this way," he answered with a conspiratorial wink. "So, Brink's got to keep his family life and not make up excuses for being in Europe. That was a clever cover. He was also definitely supportive of me being back, which reminded me that one of them wasn't. Clearly, Ari didn't want me to come back. But who was the other one?" Finn had said two were against my return. It could only be Raven. "Is Brinks your real name?" I asked. "My name is Benjamin." Finn thought Brinks was very funny since I'm in security, so to speak. "Call me anytime." He took a card from his pocket, handing it to me. Same scroll, naming him as Benjamin Hooks. "Kirk," showing his complete disdain for all of us, got up fluidly and walked over to Raven in the kitchen, cradling her from behind and burying his face in her thick hair. She dropped her spoon and leaned into him, tilting her head to give him more of her neck to kiss. We all looked away. "Not that I'm judging, but Kirk is really young, right?" I turned to my friends for assurance. "Yes, he's 19. Age is not important to Raven, and apparently he has no complaints." Brinks gestured over to them in a deep lip lock. Kirk was extremely tall and willowy, with very pale skin and close-cut, chemically colored white hair. His dark blue eyes and sculpted cheekbones looked familiar. Perhaps he was a more successful model than I knew. Raven's house was older than Ari's, with intricate crumb molding and wood floors that creaked. The main floor had high ceilings with a large living and dining area that shared space with the contemporary kitchen. Raven's furnishings were an eclectic mix of antique, modern Spanish art, and animal print. On my way to the bathroom, I walked past a large bedroom with red walls and a white ceiling, with a zebra print comforter upon an enormous bed. I assumed it was hers. When I returned to the kitchen, Kirk was gesturing angrily toward Finn. "What's going on?" I asked Raven. Finn pushed, as usual. "Kirk doesn't speak great, but knows when someone pokes fun." Finn was fake modeling behind him. Raven went on to show me what she meant by mirroring Bounce's lean against the counter and adopting a silly, far-off look on her face for the pretend camera. She threw up her hands and went to Kirk, encouraging him not to pay attention. I looked over at Finn, who smiled sleepishly like a guilty 5-year-old. "Sorry, when he started flexing in the mirror, I snapped," Finn explained, and then went over to the stove to taste a spoonful of the stew. Raven pounced, slapping his hand away from the pot. "I know, Finn, go outside and chase cars or something. We'll be ready to eat in 5 minutes." With Kirk sitting back over in the corner with a sour expression, and the others busy in the kitchen, Finn grabbed my hand and led me up another flight of stairs to a much more neutral, toned third floor. Towards the front of the house, I could see a light blue bedroom, which I took to be Bounce's. To the left of the stairs was access to the roof. Finn opened the door and held it for me, waiting. The night was brisk, and everything was damp from the unavoidable rain that blankets London throughout the day. The sky was full of stars, some obscured by random wisps of gray. Raven's townhome, like so many others in Notting Hill, back to a private park area with tall trees, boxwoods, and wonderfully manicured grounds that rolled slightly. The dark wood benches and meandering path were all empty in the night. "It's lovely here," I commented, wrapping my own arms around myself for warmth. Finn stood beside me, staring out over the park. I sensed we were on the roof for a reason, so I quietly tolerated the cold. "It was hard to be together like this, all of us, after you were gone. I just want you to know it wasn't easy. None of it was easy. We've hardly worked together since." Finn spoke quickly, still looking out over the park. "I don't know what to say. I hate I caused this." I looked up at the stars, trying to hide the way he moved me. I hadn't known anyone before who would miss me that way. Finn took my hand and turned me to face him. "Evelyn, there's one thing I have to try." His eyes told me exactly what he planned to do. With one hand, he stroked the curve of my face, while the other found the small of my back and pressed me forward until there was no night between us. He lifted my chin up, searching my face for any hesitation. There was none to see. Whether or not I had done this 100 times before, I wanted to kiss him once and know for sure he was real. I closed my eyes. His lips were as tender as they looked when they touched mine. As he kissed me, his arms encircled me protectively, warming my body from the inside out. Kissing him back, feeling my own passion for him grow, it was just us in the moment. The past and future meant nothing. It felt fresh like a first kiss, but our mouths fit together as if they had known each other well. My body instinctively deepened the kiss, my arms wrapping around his neck with my fingers gently spreading through his soft, short hair. With a low moan, he hugged me tighter, kissing me harder, as if I may be lost if he let up even a fraction. I felt my heartbeat accelerate out of excitement and fear that I may be doing the completely wrong thing. As if he sensed my hesitation, he stepped back to examine my face, securing a stray piece of hair behind my ear. I inhaled slowly, opening my eyes wider to put everything back in focus.